Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, March 13th. This is Susan Over. We will begin today's reading with healthcare groups concerned about proposed Affordable Care Act replacement. Illinois' largest healthcare system is opposed to the proposed Affordable Care Act replacement, while other healthcare organizations with operations in McLean County are expressing concerns and worry that recent coverage gains could be reversed. Quote, Advocate Healthcare is opposed to the American Healthcare Act in its current form. Megan Waltman, Advocate Vice President of Government and Community Relations, said in an email to the Pantograph last Friday, the American Healthcare Act is the proposed Affordable Care Act replacement being debated in Congress. While based in the Chicago area, Advocate includes Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal, Advocate Eureka Hospital in Eureka, and Advocate Medical Group offices throughout central Illinois. We are particularly concerned this bill will significantly reduce coverage for 21 million Americans who became insured through the Affordable Care Act, Waltman said. End quote. Meanwhile, Central Illinois Republican congressmen supported, of course, the legislation, while Illinois' two Democratic senators and left-leaning activists criticized the bill. The legislation would keep the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, protections for people with pre-existing medical conditions looking to buy insurance and would allow young adults to stay on their parents' health insurance until the age of 26. But it would repeal the requirement that people must buy health insurance or face fines. The bill also would get rid of tax credits that many low- and middle-income Illinoisans used to help buy insurance on the exchange. The amount of the tax credit depended on a person's income. The new bill would give people tax credits based on their ages. The bill also would no longer provide a federal match for people on Medicaid, the health insurance program for the poor and the disabled that is paid for by state and federal money. Good luck with Illinois paying your bills. Sorry, this stuff just drives me nuts. Instead, the bill calls for giving states limited amounts of money. The plan also would allow people who gain coverage through Medicaid expansion, a part of the Affordable Care Act, to keep that coverage through 2020. Of the Medicaid changes, Waltman said in Illinois alone, quote, the coverage of more than 1 million from Illinois is in jeopardy. Our message to Congress is clear. Our first priority is to protect access to coverage for people from Illinois. If the bill does not achieve that, we must recover the funds to be able to care for patients who will otherwise be uninsured. My reaction is mixed, said Kathy Coverston Anderson, interim director of the McLean County Health Department. While she appreciates people with pre-existing conditions and young adults would continue to be covered, reducing the tax credits would mean fewer low- and middle-income families would be able to get the health insurance they need. Medicaid changes would also reduce the number of Medicaid beneficiaries. Due to the Affordable Care Act provisions allowing Medicaid expansion, 4,499 more McLean County individuals gained Medicaid coverage in 2014, said Coverston Anderson. That is one reason the number of McLean County residents without health insurance dropped from 21% in 2013 to 8% in 2015, she said. From a public health point of view, we want people to have access to health care for prevention and treatment, end quote, Coverston Anderson said. The bill will also cut public health prevention funding, which could affect programs combating obesity, tobacco use, and infectious disease outbreaks. OSF Healthcare CEO Kevin Schoplein said OSF did not have sufficient information to offer a position on the bill, but OSF referred to information provided in January, which included an acknowledgement the ACA, despite its flaws, provided greater access to those who could least afford health care. While Chestnut Health Systems has taken no position on the bill, the statewide trade associations, quote, we engage with, have expressed great concern about the proposal as drafted, believing it will diminish access to both primary medical and behavioral health services for low-income individuals served by organizations such as Chestnut, Chief Operating Officer Alan Senders said. U.S. Rep. Darren LaHood from Dunlop said, there is no question Affordable Care Act is failing. We as legislators have an obligation to the American people to repeal and replace this failed law with a patient-centered system that allows more competition and provides better access to care at lower costs, end quote. The draft of the American Health Care Act is a step in the right direction. So said LaHood. U.S. Reps Rodney Davis, Republican from Taylorville, and Adam Kinzinger of Shanahan also supported the legislation. But U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth, both Democrats, said the bill would cost millions of Americans their health insurance while increasing costs for middle-class Americans. Quote, it gives big tax breaks to the wealthy, and it cuts benefits for low-income people, said Linda Unterman of the Stand Up for Social Justice group. I see it as a failure, quote, said Jody Slothauer of Voices for Reason. It would benefit 0.1% of the population who would get tax breaks rather than the millions of people who need that health care. End of article. City receives clean audit, the Coliseum not included. Bloomington. The city's financial books have received a clean opinion from independent auditors, according to its finance director, but U.S. Cellular Coliseum's finances are not included. Alderman will hear a presentation from the audit firm Baker Tilly Virchow Krause on the city's latest comprehensive annual financial report when the City Council meets today at 7 p.m. at City Hall. Quote, they did not express an opinion on the U.S. Cellular Coliseum's books, said Bloomington Finance Director Patty Lynn Silva. Due to the ongoing Illinois State Police investigation, auditors were unable to attain all documents necessary to complete an audit of the Coliseum operations. For the fiscal year ending April 30, 2016, the city's financial statements conformed with generally accepted accounting principles, with the exception of the Coliseum, Baker Tilly stated in its audit report. Quote, it is always great to get a clean opinion, said Silva, noting it helps the city maintain its credit ratings and attract investors, end quote. There were two internal control issues mentioned by the auditors, said Silva. One is related to the Coliseum. The other centers on access issues stemming from outdated utility billing software. Those issues were raised in previous audits. The fiscal 2016 audit was to be produced October 31st, but it was delayed because of transitioning management of the city-owned Coliseum from Central Illinois Arena Management to Venue Works in April of 2016. During that transition, information was uncovered, which led to state police launching a criminal investigation into past operations of the Coliseum under Central Illinois Area Management's care. Quote, the city's finance staff was closing up books to hand over to Venue Works. That was taking time. Then we realized there were some irregularities, which we reported, said Silva. Then we were providing the data for the investigation, end quote. Alderman will also hear Fire Chief Brian Moore present the Bloomington Fire Department's 2016 Statistical Annual Report. While there were 138 fewer fire calls in Bloomington last year than the 2,625 fire calls in 2015, the resulting property loss rose by about $1.7 million. The 2,487 fire calls in 2016 resulted in an estimated dollar loss of about $3.21 million. Fires were Miller Whiteside Woodworking, 505 South McClun Street on March 22nd, Bentley Motors, 1508 South Main on July 23rd, Parkview Food and Pub, 1003 South Morris Avenue, October 21st, and an automobile hauler which caught fire December 19th while traveling near West Market Street and Truckers Lane. End of article. Epiphany students return to the classroom, Normal. School is back in session at Epiphany Catholic School in Normal. Quote, we are good and having school today, Epiphany Principal Mike Luton said this morning. The school was closed last Friday following a water main break near the front of the school. We had to displace one class and the cafeteria won't be operational until after spring break, he said. Several volunteers helped with the final cleanup yesterday afternoon. We expected it to take about 3 hours, but we were done in less than 2 hours, end quote, said Lutens. The flood water reached nearly 8 inches in some rooms, damaging carpets and cabinets. The break caused a townwide boil order last Friday that was lifted at 5:15 on Saturday after completion of water sample testing. The main in the 1000 block of East College Avenue split open about 11:30 at night last Thursday. It was repaired by 4 p.m. on Friday. The water department thinks that rupture was caused by a small leak, worsened with pressure from a leaning utility pole. When water pressure dropped below a certain level, federal rules mandated a 24-hour order for people to boil water before using it for drinking or for cooking. End of article. Area Digest. PATH fundraiser planned. PATH's annual fundraiser, Chefs for PATH, will be at 5 o'clock today at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, 600 Northeast Street in Bloomington. This culinary competition showcases local chefs creating dishes from a list of ingredients provided by Cisco Foods. The finale is a live on-stage cook-off. Participating chefs are Ron Henry of Bloomington Country Club, Troy Tomlinson of Biaggi's, Manny Martinez of Swingers, Delfino Noxie of Ted's Garage, and Zach Polito of Bray's. The tickets are $75. You may call Kathy Beck at 309-834-0507. 309-834-0507. Cookie sales used for tree donation, Normal. The third grade brownie Girl Scout troop at Prairie Land Elementary will use part of their cookie sales proceeds to donate a tree to the school, which recently lost some ash trees. A representative of Owen Nursery and Florist will deliver and assist in planting that tree purchased by the Scouts. The planting and ceremony will take place at 6 p.m. on April 24th, which is a Monday, at the school. End of article. Divorces. The following divorces were recently finalized in McLean County Circuit Court. Holterman, Kimberly and Francois Holterman. Jacobs, Joshua and Brittany Jacobs. Hartke, Kurt and Colleen Hartke. Anastasiadis, Paul and Jennifer Anastasiadis. Cordero, Rosalio and Blanco Cordero. Stider, Angela and Dan Stider. Nafziger, Susan and John Nafziger. Nelson, Quinton and Sheila Hamilton Quinton Nelson. Hardesty, Catherine and Michael Hardesty. End of article. YWCA Distinction Nominations Available. The YWCA of McLean County is accepting nominations for the 28th Annual Women of Distinction Awards, which recognizes local women for their contributions in arts and entertainment, business, education, professions, social service, volunteer service, and young professional. A new category for excellence in STEM, that is, science, technology, engineering, and math, has been added to recognize women in that field. The event will be held on May 16th, which is a Tuesday, at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Uptown Normal. A social will begin at 5:30, followed by dinner, and the program will start at 6:30. One woman is chosen in each category. All nominees should be women who have demonstrated qualities of leadership and excellence in their professional and personal lives, as well as a commitment to improving McLean County through their work and volunteer service. Previous nominees can be renominated. WINGS Award applications also are being accepted. This financial award, as much as $1,500, is sponsored by Past Women of Distinction recipients. It is awarded annually to a woman to improve her skills and grow professionally. Applications and nominations for both awards are available at ywcamclean.org. Also, you may get a paper copy at the YWCA McLean County site, which is located at 1201 North Hershey Road in Bloomington. You should come in at the administrative door on the lower level. Women of Distinction nominations and WINGS applications are due by 4 p.m. on March 31st, which is a Friday. For more information, you may contact Emily Fisher at 309-662-0461. 309-662-0461, extension 298. End of article. Lineup will not be used at Zimmerman trial. A judge ruled Friday a jury will not hear testimony about a police lineup in which Kirk Zimmerman was identified by a woman who believes she saw him outside a Bloomington office building close to the time his ex-wife was shot multiple times. Zimmerman is charged with the murder of Pam Zimmerman on November 4, 2014, in her office at 2103 East Washington in Bloomington. Last Friday, Judge Scott Drzewski ruled Maria Legg's ID of Zimmerman could be considered overly suggestive based on a flawed process used by Bloomington police to obtain that woman's opinion. The witness picked Zimmerman's photo from a computer-generated lineup of six suspects. Bloomington police showed those photos to the woman in March 2016. They had tracked her down with information received in an anonymous tip that Legg may have seen Zimmerman when she went to drop off recyclables at a church next door. Errors with the lineup itself are abundant, said Drzewski. Among the mistakes in how the lineup was handled was the presence of police detectives while the woman was viewing those photos. The defense sought to exclude Legg's testimony from Zimmerman's as-yet unscheduled jury trial based on concerns with the ID process. The lineup was displayed on a computer set up in Legg's garage without advance notice police were coming. Legg's husband, Charles Legg, helped her navigate the program because she did not know how to operate that device. Although she did not select a photo on the computer screen, Legg is heard in a video telling her husband and detectives, "For me, it looks more like the first one," referring to Zimmerman's booking photo, which had been widely circulated in the media after his July 2015 arrest. In court Friday, Legg broke down and sobbed several times during questioning by defense lawyer John Rogers. The witness seemed confused with many questions and responded, "I don't remember," about 20 times in response to questions. Legg said she became more upset in 2014 when she recognized Pam Zimmerman as the woman who came to her home to look at a coffee table Legg wanted to sell. Legg said she did not go to police because her husband was fearful. He said, "No, they may come and kill us the way they killed somebody over there." Rogers argued Legg's claim that she was petrified of the man she saw in the parking lot is illogical and nonsensical. The judge left open a possibility that Legg may testify if her ID of Zimmerman is strictly from her independent recollection and not from the photo lineup. In support of such an ID, Assistant State's Attorney Mary Cole asked witness Anna Gunther to share what Legg told her about seeing Zimmerman's photo in the pantograph in connection with that homicide. According to Gunther, Legg was distraught when she told her, "I feel strongly I may have witnessed him leaving a crime, his wife's murder." The state will continue its effort April 25th to convince the judge Legg's ID of Zimmerman should be heard by a jury. End of article. Gifts fundraiser set for April 7th. ABC Counseling and Family Services will host its 13th annual Gifts from the Heart fundraiser to benefit youth affected by sexual abuse from 5 until 10 p.m. on April 7th, which is a Friday, at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Uptown Normal. The evening will include dinner, a silent auction, games, and entertainment. Tickets are $55 until March 10th and $60 after March 10th. For more information, call 309-451-9495. 309-451-9495. End of article. Mistrial declared in rape case. A mistrial was declared Friday in the case of two women who accused a former Illinois State University student of sexually assaulting them in 2015. The jury deliberated 6.5 hours over 2 days before sending a third note letting the judge know they were deadlocked on the fate of William Guying, 19, of Bolingbrook. Quote, "We are certainly disappointed the jury was not able to reach a verdict and provide both of the victims a closure to the criminal case, but we thank them for their time and attention to this case," end quote, said Assistant State's Attorney Kristen Alferink. Guying was charged with raping two women in separate incidents on September 9th and October 23rd. After the jury's failure to reach a decision, defense lawyer Stephanie Wong said, "While we are disappointed in a mistrial, Mr. Guying is very grateful for the time, efforts, and seriousness with which the jurors discharged their duties." During the four-day trial, jurors heard from both women and Guying. The alleged victims testified he forced them to engage in sexual activity during two separate incidents. The woman involved in the September 2015 incident met Guying through a mutual friend and invited him to her dorm at Waterston Towers. The two later went to his room in the same building and engaged in what she described as non-consensual sex. The second encounter started with Guying and the woman meeting at a party at a frat house. The alleged victim told police she was sexually assaulted at an apartment where the two went to pick up keys to her dorm room at Waterston. Guying claimed he was unaware of any problems the women had with their encounters with him until he was contacted by ISU and Normal police. The alleged victim in the first incident did not complain about him to police until she reported being assaulted a second time by another man. End of article. Fire damages North Normal home. Fire damaged a deck and exterior wall on a North Normal home Friday afternoon, but no injuries were reported. Normal firefighters were called at 1:29 p.m. to 206 Sue Ellen Drive when a homeowner ran to a neighbor's house to call 911. Upon arrival, firefighters saw light smoke and found a fire burning on the back of the house. Firefighters stretched a hose line to the back of the house and knocked down the fire, containing it to the exterior. It was determined to be fully out about 10 minutes later. Loss is estimated at $35,000. The home is insured. Firefighters remained on the scene for about an hour to make sure the fire was extinguished and to assist investigators working to determine the cause of the fire. Sue Ellen Drive is south of Rab Road between Rockingham Drive and School Street. End of article. Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person wanted for felony charges. David William Hermosillo, 50, is 6'1", weighs 250 pounds. He is balding or bald. He has brown eyes, fair skin, and a large build. His last known address was in Bloomington. Hermosillo has used the aliases of David William Hermosillo Jr., David W. Hermosillo, David Seisman, David William Seisman, David Z-Man, David W. Z-Man and David William Z-Man. He is named on a warrant charging him with sexually violent person escape with a bond of $1 million. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. You may call 309-828-1111. 309-828-1111. End of article. Ticket sales to resume for Garth Brooks. The ticketing system brought down by Garth Brooks' fervent Central Illinois fan base this past weekend has been repaired. Sales will resume at 10 a.m. March 16th, which is Thursday, for the April 28th and 29th concerts at the University of Illinois State Farm Center in Champaign. As before, tickets may be gotten two ways. One, by phoning 844-442-7842. 844-442-7842. And you can go online to statefarmcenter.com/Garth. No sales are being conducted at the State Farm box office or its outlets. End of article. Soar Respect Run set March 26th, which is a Sunday. Bloomington, the Special Opportunities in Recreation Soar Respect Run 5K will be held on March 26th at Miller Park in Bloomington. Registration begins at 9:30 in the morning at Miller Park Pavilion, with the run and walk at 10 a.m. Registration is $5 and t-shirts are available for $15. Run for Hope Plan March 26th. Bloomington, Home Sweet Home Ministries and Fleet Feet Sports Bloomington will host the 4th Annual Run for Hope at 10 a.m. on March 26th on Constitution Trail. The event will include a 10K and 5K runs and a kids' fun run, which begins and ends at Home Sweet Home's Warehouse Operations Center, 1700 West Washington Street in Bloomington. Proceeds will benefit the Home Sweet Home. End of article. Bloomington Council prioritizing funding in the budget. Bloomington aldermen spent Saturday trying to decide what to include and what to cut from the city's proposed $213.8 million budget. Quote, we just heard all the directors come through and say, our resources are stretched, we need more people, said Ward 7 Alderman Scott Black. But Ward 2 Alderman David Sage said the council first should talk about how the city can reduce or eliminate services and reallocate savings. I find it hard to make the jump to say we are going to hire more people and do more things and continue to grow the budget without having a legitimate conversation about how we reallocate and move existing dollars, Sage said. We talk about that, but the problem is we have never done anything with it, end quote. The city's 12 department heads listed their needs during a 90-minute presentation. The city has already cut $2.7 million from the proposed department budgets, saving money by reducing supplies, materials, and training. The savings will help pay for 4 new full-time employees, an additional 911 supervisor, a facilities custodian, an assistant city planner, and a traffic engineer. In 2015, Sage led a citizens task force which examined ways to reduce a $7.5 million deficit. That hole was closed in part by using money from a sales tax increase to pay for general fund operating expenses. At this time, we will take a short break.